please give me a dirty water that Jesus walked on. Please give me a dirty water that Jesus walked on.
Dirty Water Podcast.
Right now.
We up, nigga. Yeah.
We up.
That's how we do it.
Just how I like it.
Yeah. Sipping the dirty water.
No bullshit.
You know what I mean? We on some OG shit today.
This is a situation where victory meets preparation. My shit ain't got to be nothing. All my shit is facts.
Okay, listen.
We ain't had no first aid. All we know is to get it a band-aid.
What you want to talk about, OG Demi? What you want to talk about?
We can talk about a lot of shit, man.
What's going on with you?
We can start by talking about...
Yo, 914, we in here, man. Let's start that.
I was coming to that.
What up?
I was coming to 914-212-917-347.
All that shit.
We in the building. 646. We right here.
910.
I'm Lex.
910. 410-443.
There you go. Dave B.
We got OG Demi in this motherfucker.
Jonestown today. Official. You know what it is.
What?
You got to go into it.
Where you from, yo?
Originally from White Plains, New York. Tried and true. Stamped.
White Plains. I love it.
But right now, I've been living in Baltimore. I lived in Baltimore first when I went on a run. I went and lived in Baltimore back in...
You went on a run, and
that's where we're gonna start at, right?
Right.
We're gonna go back a little further than that. Okay. Right now, I just want to start where when I went on the run. I was on the run in Baltimore back in 1991. I was there to 1994 when I got busted, sent back to New York. But yeah, we're gonna talk about that. Yeah, I was on the run for 3 years, stamped.
Right. Talk about that court date.
Oh yeah.
What court day?
Listen, he about to tell you.
Okay, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Uncle. Hold it down for Dirty. We just Dirty Water Podcast.
October
2nd, 1992.
Got dates. 1991. You don't need no dates. We're going to talk about it. We ain't had nothing. My shit, like I said before, statute of limitations official. We're not going to worry about it.
We're
going to talk about it. We're going to talk about it, though.
91.
What happened?
I got caught up in some mess and some shit in the gambling hole.
Make sure you're speaking in the mic.
Bunch of people in there gambling and shit. I went to go meet a guy in the gambling hole, move some weight to him.
Where was this at?
This was on Fish Avenue in New York.
You heard?
Went to go move some weight to him. And he never made it. But what happened was police came, they busted the spot.
That's a bad feeling, right?
Yeah, it was, man. at the end of the day, I was the only one that kind of got busted. There was some other people in with me to kind of cover it all up.
Damn.
And they took everything from me. Took my shoes. Well, they didn't take my shoes. They took the shoestrings from my shoes and took my belt. So the guys that I got busted with, God bless them. I know he snitched on me, but.
God bless him.
We gonna leave that for the next topic.
Okay.
Bitch.
So I get busted. We go to jail. We go to the jail. Go to the guys and I say, look, I don't know about you, but I'm going to be out of here today. So boy says, you are? I said, yeah, I am. So I'm going to get me a bail. So we go in front of the judge. Judge says, no bail. It's kind of shocked behind that because I know I was preaching in the back that I'm going to get a bail today. I had no cases before that, so they had no reason to hold me. You know how it normally goes.
First offense?
No, not first offense.
Oh, okay, well, sorry.
I took many busts before then. We're going to talk about that, too.
I love it.
So they said no bail. So the bailiff came to me and said, hey, let's go. So I pushed the bailiff in the chest. Ran out of the courtroom.
Pew!
I was on the run for 3 years.
Hold
on. The day that I ran out of the courtroom.
You literally ran out of the courtroom.
across the street to some other areas.
We're not gonna talk about that. We're gonna talk about that.
Okay, you know what? Then fuck it. We can talk about it. So I ran out of the courtroom in White Plains, New York.
Literally.
So I go across street. I go across the street to 11 Fisher.
The projects.
And the projects. And I stay over there for like 9 hours. Mm. 9 hours I'm over there. Mm. And when the 4 o'clock shift changed, I'm looking out the window and I see all these cars coming to look for me.
Well, hold on. I think X got a line off for that. He say, I stay fucking with a hood rat, so I run up in a rat hole. Mm. You know what I mean?
There you go. Well, guess what?
There you go.
Then it's dark as hell is hot.
Then that's what it is. So anyway, I ran up in that rat hole that my youngin' said. Stayed there for 9 hours. I called my man, told him come grab me. He grabbed some money from the safe, came, got me. Stayed in Yonkers for 2 weeks.
Yonkers, what up? Y.O., what up?
And I was going back and forth to my nephew crib, my brother crib, kind of hanging around, just fucking around a little bit, doing what I do. And as odd as it seems, when I say this, guys gonna think it's a joke, but my mama came and said, take this money and go do what you got to do. Mm. Now, I'd already had some money, but she gave me some money too. Told me to go do what I got to do. Mm. So I went down to Maryland. I was down in the lower Maryland, part of D.C. at that time. We was kind of fucking around down there. And I ran into a young lady.
Angel.
Well, yeah, that too. But I ran into a young lady, and it's been kind of like heaven ever since. Until 1994, when they grabbed me, brought me back to New York. I did 37 months. I was only supposed to do 6. Got in some bullshit.
That's 3 years.
I got in some bullshit.
You was on the run longer than the time that you were supposed to do.
Yes, I was.
You literally ran out of the courtroom. Yeah.
So they was going to give me 6 months in boot camp. That didn't work because my mind wasn't ready for it. You know, you go into that was my first time up north.
Mm. How old was you at the time?
Let me see. So 91, 93, 94. I was 30. I was 30.
I'm trying to
think
of
then.
Got you.
And they put me in the car, brought me back to New York. Did 37 months. But I was only supposed to do 6 months. Mm-hmm. But I got in some bullshit. Caught me on a day when I was on my best bullshit. And old boy got what he got. He stretched it out 37 months. I did the majority of my time in Clinton Max. So for all you guys talking about you in the Beacon and you in this, that, and the other. No, I wasn't in the annex. I did all mine in Max, C337. Mm. You know what it's about.
You heard.
95A1445, that's my number.
This nigga still got his
official stories
number.
Out here, just so you know. This Dirty Water Podcast getting official stories. But go ahead, Unc.
You hit a number.
So.
You hit the numbers.
So I while I was there, I ran into a guy that knew a whole lot of my friends in New York. We was able to chop it up and kind of do our time together. He had already had 12 and a half to 25, but he knew who I was. When I touched down, all he had to do was make a phone call and know I was official when I was coming through. Shoot on. Let's talk about it.
Run out of the courtroom.
We gonna talk about that shit all fucking day.
That's the real shit.
Right, yo.
Right.
So hold on, wait. We gonna go back to that.
Okay.
I came home in 97. I had to take care of some business in that same courthouse. Mm. And when I go back to that courthouse, they have maximum security, everything within that courthouse.
Mm. Right.
Funny thing is, some other people tried it after me. They weren't so successful. And that's all I'll say about that. However, they had a whole bunch of stuff in there. Metal detectors from the front door. So you had metal detector at the front door. Then you had another metal detector at the courtroom. And then you had all these metal bars that surrounded that whole court area where you just couldn't walk. You couldn't run out of there, walk out of there, however, anything. You just couldn't walk out of there.
Right.
Didn't matter how you looked at it. You ain't getting out of there.
Yeah,
so it's super max right now. That city jail is a super max right now.
Sound like they Demi proofed it.
Well, that,
you know what I'm saying?
That might be real. That might be true. That might be true.
So, all right, let's get into some more of your other little bullshit. Nah, man.
So we gonna go back. So we gonna go back to the beginning.
What was on your mind?
My humble beginnings. We gonna go back to my humble beginnings before we get back to what was on my mind. Back in 1984, we'll go there.
All the way back.
Go back to 1984.
Well, how old you think you was then?
I was only 20.
Oh, Lord, what was you rocking? Right. What was you rocking?
Back in 24, I had a, back in 1984, I had a, 2 years out of high school, Anna gave me a Cadillac.
Mm-hmm.
I had a Cadillac Seville, 1979 Seville, light green, dark green, two-tone with Vogues and Chromes on it.
Oh, you thought you was a shit.
I did. Mm. But I wasn't getting money then. I was just working.
Mm. Got you. Got you.
But I was respected.
Yeah.
Just based on my academic status. I was respected. But I was working. And stumbled upon some friends. I was kind of getting money the other way. I don't have to say what I mean when I say the other way. Everybody know what I mean.
Everybody on the air.
Everybody on the air, they know what I mean when I was getting money the other way.
Yeah. Right. They like your style.
Right. You know, so they're like, you know, so
I'm just letting you know, OG was talking about cocaine.
We ain't even there yet. Don't worry about it.
What?
I don't give a fuck what Triple OG was talking about. I'm about to tell some motherfucking stories.
That's what I'm fucking talking about. Talk that shit, OG.
I'm talking about right now, what I'm talking about is an introduction into the business.
Let's do this shit. Okay.
So when you talk about 84, I'm talking about my introduction into the business and all the things that I kind of moved around with. So a friend of mine was selling some weed. Felt like I can kind of be successful there, move and you know get a whole lot of weight to move around. And I was able to do that with the weed, quarter pounds, half pounds, pounds. Was able to do that. Was able to keep the car for a while.
Back then, that was like the regular weed, though, right?
Don't matter. That's what it was.
It was more.
Acapulco Gold.
Right.
Okay.
Hard is hard. Okay. For everybody that know.
Acapulco Gold.
For everybody that know. D hard is hard. So half ounce nickel bags. Mm. So if you know, you know. If you don't, then that's too fucking bad. However.
It was moving.
That's what it was.
Nickel bags.
Okay. Feel me?
So that's what we was getting.
Okay.
So we used to go on 125th and go to the spot. It was called D Hard is Hard.
125th, what that, Harlem?
125th Street, New York. There's only 125th Street. Mm-hmm. All over the world. Do we really got to go into all that?
Yeah.
I'm about to sit your ass down. Stop bluffing. Yeah.
I ain't shit, man.
Don't stop.
I ain't shit.
So stop playing.
What you want me to do?
So look, there's only 125th Street in the world. That's Harlem, New York. Harlem, USA. We're going to say it like that. So yeah, I was going over there getting my weed and shit. Playing with the big boys. And then I graduated from that. Started selling mescaline tabs. I went from there, started selling dust. So we could talk about the dust. So what we call dust, we call water. We call love boat. Mm. We call a little bit of everything. Right. We call it wet. Mm. Call it leak. Call it whatever you want to call it. However, I started selling. Mm. I like selling dust. I like selling dust so much that I started smoking it. That brings me into my next part.
Whoa. Man, go ahead. Hold it down, man.
Dust.
So here we go.
First of all, you smoked dust back then.
I smoked dust back then.
You probably still wet.
That's when dust was right. It was original. It was pure. It was real.
Because a lot of shit today ain't shit.
Ain't shit. Everything cut up.
Right.
Tito, some dust.
Because I was always aggressive in my lifestyle.
Right.
You know, if I see somebody with something and I want, I'm going to get it.
Mm-hmm.
Just so happens one day I was a little dusted on the street. I see a dude walking around with a medallion. Saw his pockets looking real big.
Bulgy.
Felt like I need to go get that.
Right.
I went and got that.
Mm.
Sheesh.
Back then, I just did it with a knife.
You robbed the pockets with
give
a knife.
Give me that.
I need that.
traditional New York style. Right.
So you're gonna get poked up.
Pat him down.
I did that for a while. I started getting into the guns.
Oh no.
Graduated.
It became official.
So, you know, so now, you know,
so Nino Brown.
So,
shit.
So now, you know, the more a motherfucker holding, you know, you're gonna need different type of artillery.
Mm.
You know, you need that.
Right.
That was on your mindset?
That was my mindset then.
Oh.
I always had a thing where I was kind of more advanced than my friends mentally.
Okay.
So I knew how to go get it when I needed it.
50 who?
So we can kind of make it easy. You know, the one thing I'd always told the guys that I kind of work with is that we all need to make it home at night. Need to be able to wake up the next day.
Real shit.
To our families. So that was always in my mind whenever I went to go put in work. Questions?
Making it home. How old were you then?
At that time, I was only like 24.
Sticking them up.
Yeah, we just going to get that money.
Stick up, kid.
So you had, it was just you? Or you just had
said the guys that I work with. I said that. Guys that I work with.
No names. Don't worry
about you. When you're going after more stuff,
you're gonna need more weapons.
Right. Y'all was tight.
The requirements were a little higher.
More mines too.
Right.
Yeah. Y'all was tight.
I was kind of like the mastermind behind those operations.
Because
at the end
that.
Of the day, the goal was to make it home every night.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So you trust them.
So I was trusted enough.
Yeah. Right. Did you trust them?
No, I was trusted enough. I wasn't worried about whether I trusted them. Mm. They trusted me.
Yeah.
So they trusted me enough to know they were gonna get home every night.
And
if there was any glitches, I knew that I couldn't work with a particular person no more.
So when you say they trusted you, you feel like
they trusted me with their lives. It was loyalty.
It was loyalty.
Yeah. Mm. So they trusted me with their lives and said, you know what, he gonna get me home every night. That's what it was.
Well, it's crazy because earlier you said something about, you know, you being snitched on, and then was any of these guys ever snitched on you?
You know what? I was fortunate enough to not have those guys tell on me.
Right.
Okay. Honestly, I was fortunate enough.
Shout out to them.
Loyal.
You know what I mean? OG Demi and
like
his
bitch.
They respected my lifestyle, my mental, as from a mental standpoint, the way I kind of put plans together.
Yeah.
The way we kind of sat on niggas for a week or two before we went to go get at them. They respected all that because it wasn't normal back then.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you hear about that shit now where guy's sitting on a motherfucker for like a month before he go at him because he want to make sure his game right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
This wasn't that.
Yeah.
I was already there early. So, yeah.
Well, no waiting.
Yes. So, I go on 160th and sit on a guy for about a week and see how his shift move.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you got guys coming in a certain amount of time, whatever the case is, it didn't matter. I just want to see how that whole shift worked. Mm. See, in New York, they worked on 12-hour shifts, 12 to 12, a.m., p.m. That's how they worked it. And there was no other way around. It was no three shifts, only two shifts, 12 to 12.
Did any of your jobs cause you to shoot anybody?
Of course.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, come with the game.
That comes with territory.
Right.
Once motherfuckers know you're around, you know, kind of make you approach the game different.
Yeah.
So they knew I was around.
So was it the money or was it the rush?
Well, no, I don't think it was the rush, and I'll tell you why it wasn't the rush.
Mm-hmm.
In my early years, when I kind of got into taking money, that's what we don't call it stick-ups. A stick-up kid don't call it stick-ups.
Mm-hmm.
A stick-up kid call it taking money.
Yeah.
Okay.
So when I got into my early years of taking money, my approach was always different. You know, as I stated before, you know, my goal was to make sure everybody kind of got home safe.
Yeah.
The people that was around me. I've always embraced that adrenaline rush. That was always something that I embraced. Even when I have fights now, I embrace those moments.
Mm-hmm.
Like when you have that serious adrenaline rush, you embrace those. But that adrenaline rush is what always had me remaining calm in those situations. Because I had to make sure that we were moving slower than our mind, one of us two.
Right,
you know, we can't move too fast because you fuck around and move right into the police. Well, I had to make sure we were calm in those moments.
Mm-hmm. Always about not getting caught.
Right. You know, so, you know, I tell everybody right now, anybody who goes to jail is a sucker. I was a sucker too.
Yeah. You know,
and the thing is, I learned that from a motherfucker that's doing 75 to life.
Ooh.
You
know,
you get caught, you're a sucker.
What?
Right? Jail is for suckers. Bottom line. You heard it from me, and I heard it from a guy that's doing 75 to life.
Yeah.
Jail is for suckers. If you get caught, that's your problem. However, you got to learn to take that.
That's a fact. Because you know what the fuck you was doing.
That come with the business.
There you go.
Most important rule. Take your shit.
Take your shit.
That's it right there.
No rent.
It doesn't get any realer than that.
How you feel about snitching? Because me personally, I feel like it's at an all-time high.
It been high.
This is what I tell people. I learned this in 90s.
Talk that shit, OG.
I learned this when Alpo got busted.
Yeah.
Ooh, okay. Okay.
Snitch is like America's greatest pastime, like baseball. Right? It doesn't get any realer than the statement. And I say that because America's greatest pastime is baseball. And in America, baseball is the most popular sport. We can look at football. I actually coach high school sports now at this point in my life, but I can tell you that baseball is one of the most lucrative sports and one of the most all-time sports it doesn't matter what era you get in. Baseball, the part about baseball will never change.
Mm. Shout out to the Fayetteville Woodpeckers. Right. Go ahead, Unc.
So, you know, when you hear these stories about guys telling on people and then, you know, them kind of attempting to justify it, there's no way you can justify snitching. You know when you walk in those doors and you go to the first guy and you say, yo, I need some work. That very first time you ever do that, you know what comes along with it.
Right.
You know it already.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. You know. In your mind.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter. I don't care whose mind it is.
I'm just saying, the one that's picking it up.
Right. As long as you know it's a legal business, you know.
There you go.
What you're about to get yourself into.
Yeah.
Okay.
So whenever that time comes where you feel like you got to tell on somebody, I don't care who it is. I don't care what kind of time I'm facing. It could be the electric chair. I know what I did. I know how I got here.
Right.
I know the consequences that come along with it.
Right.
I'm going to take that. And I don't...
As you should.
Alpo can't justify it. I don't give a fuck. Frank Matthews can't justify it. Nicky Barnes can't justify it. I don't give a fuck. You can't justify it. Snitching is snitching.
What about snitching on crooked police, though?
So that's
still snitching?
No. I would have asked, though. You know?
That's a different story.
Okay. Okay.
That's a different story.
I feel the same, though. I feel the same with you.
And I say that because of this. Let's just say you got busted with 5 keys.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
But that same cop that arrested you went in front of the judge and said you only had 2 keys.
Mm-hmm.
You got busted, right?
Yeah. That happens.
That's real.
Yeah.
I've been busted in New York City before.
Yeah.
Everybody know I did a lot of my time in Westchester County. Shout out to 914.
You already know.
Yeah.
Valhalla.
But I'm going to say this.
Shut up, Dave.
I've been in those situations before. I've been beat up by New York City cops before.
Oh, man.
I know them stories.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I've heard all that bullshit told. I even heard it in 914. You know, dirty cops kind of moving about. You know?
Yeah.
I've been in them situations too. You know, get busted with 250 joints. Motherfucker say you only got busted with 100. Well, what happened to the other 150?
Right, right.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Right.
So, no.
Taxes, nigga.
Taxing.
Why don't niggas be able to beat those type of cases?
It's not about whether they beat them or not.
Mm.
I think that because everyone knows that Westchester has like this 99% conviction rate or so on paper. Right.
Oh, I feel like Fayetteville's like that too.
I said also on paper.
Right.
Let me reiterate that.
Yeah.
Also on paper.
Got you.
Let's be clear.
Got you.
These niggas cover a lot of shit up.
What they'll do is they'll cop to a certain amount of time.
Mm.
When people cop out, little do they realize it costs the state, city, or county less money. Because once you go to trial, you got to start hiring jurors, right?
Yeah.
The lawyer had to prepare his case. That takes time and money and resources, right?
Yeah.
So that's held on that one case, him not realizing that he can say, you know what, fuck it, I want to go to trial. Now he wants to take all those other four components and make them spend their time and money. He doesn't realize that if he was to do that, he would cost that state money, right? They don't want to spend that money.
Right.
But because you make them not spend that money, it's kind of like looking a gift horse in the mouth. Does he just cop the five?
Right.
You understand? Yeah. Oh, hell yeah, bring that motherfucker right here.
Right, right.
You understand what I'm saying? Mm. When that case might not carry no more than a 1 to 3 right. New York time, or 3 years, 1.5 years suspended, 2 years suspended, depending on where you go. You know, that's just how it all kind of works out. So nobody wants to go to trial. Mm. We're going to get to that in a minute, too, because that at that point, we step up to like 87, 88, 89. So we're going to step up to that in a minute.
Talking shit.
So we're going to get to that in a minute. Talking shit. However.
Because you leaving tomorrow, so just right, talking shit.
So right now, I know you're trying to hold me here, nigga. We ain't going to do all that.
We ain't shit. Hey, Dirty Water ain't shit. Yeah. Dirty Water
keep
ain't
on
shit.
Talking. Keep but on yeah, so, talking.
Sip your dirty water. I got you.
So yeah.
The dirtiest.
That's how that all kind of comes together.
Yeah. Like I had to ask the last OG.
What's the most cocaine you ever seen?
What's the
so we can talk about that.
Fuck it.
Because I can tell you right now, you know, to some people it may not be a whole lot, but some it may be. I caught a dude walking. He was walking from a spot. And I had been watching this guy for about a week. He had come, kind of 2 weeks kind of been coming and going. It was 2 weeks. Kind of been coming and going. And every time I see him, he walk with a back with a handbag. Nowadays we carry backpacks, but he was walking with something like a gym bag today.
Right, duffel, small duffel.
But every time you see him,
oh okay, yeah.
You know, every time you see him, he'd be walking with a small duffel bag. So I knew where he was coming from. We knew what building he was coming from, and I've been kind of sitting on it for like 2 weeks.
Jesus Christ.
And we actually happened to go in there. It was a bad situation. However, we had to go in there and take some money out of there. We actually came in on the end of a shift.
Mm-hmm.
So dude had like 60,000 and four keys kind of sitting around.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a pretty big deal for us. We had to split like five ways.
Sound like a pretty big deal for me.
We had to split that. We kind of like split that for like 5 days. Now let me say this. I was able to open up the doors for a whole lot of motherfuckers from 914 to start going to New York to get
that
work.
That's how a lot of masterminds are.
And that's how that all kind of worked out. Because I've seen a lot of situations with guys that I knew wasn't going to stick up shit.
Mm-hmm.
I hear them talking about, oh, I'm going to New York to get this money. And they come back with whatever they come back with. Now, I knew these guys was fucking hoes to begin with. They wasn't about putting in no work.
Mm-hmm.
But these guys was putting in work.
Right.
And yeah, I was kind of excited about that because I know I was kind of the guy that laid the groundwork for it.
Right.
Mm.
Yeah. So like I said, what I said about that work I seen.
Jesus.
Now, hold on, mind you, I was actually working on the road myself. Now, I've been to a lot of different states on the Eastern Seaboard.
It's a movie.
Eastern Seaboard.
I said it. No, like I'm really serious about that.
Nah, I feel you.
I've been to a lot of different
states. I like the way you worded it. That's what I'm saying. I like the way you worded it.
It's better than a movie.
I've been to a lot of different states on the Eastern Seaboard, put in some work, whether it's moving work or taking money. Everybody know it. It's nothing to hide. I've been to almost every state on the Eastern Seaboard where I've done everything that I just said I did.
Mm. Yeah.
I spent a lot of time here too. What'd you say it was? 910?
Oh, it's definitely
919.
We in the 2-6.
Yeah, we in the 2-6. Yeah. Yeah, I've been around here.
Yeah. I've been around.
You know who I'm at. You know who I am. You know who I am. My name, you know who I am.
Yeah.
My nephew already said my name. You know who I am. So you know it's official. We ain't gotta go into that.
This nigga is the funniest. I love it.
Have you had any
Hold on, wait. Both coke and dope. You know who I am. We ain't gotta do that.
Hey,
I'm keeping
up.
The buck.
As I said
from the beginning, this is a situation where victory meets preparation.
Well, look.
All my shit, fact.
But hold on, down south, when you say Rick coke Ross, and dope, who? I know what you mean, but like down here, they call coke dope.
Coke, yeah, boy, yeah, and boy and girl.
There, all right.
Fuck, we ain't got to. We're going to play games. Hold on. on. Wait, there we go.
I'm telling you.
At what part did we start becoming synonymous with this shit?
I'm just saying, man. You gotta.
I was basic as a motherfucker when I said what I said.
Nah, man.
You like wordplay. Yeah, I love it. Hold on, wait. So now we're in a situation where the broadcaster actually likes wordplay. Right. So I love it.
Have you had any interactions with Alpo and Rich?
Yeah, I did.
Okay.
No, so we could talk about that. I met those guys. I think Rich wasn't there.
Mm-hmm.
We were in Virginia Beach like back in 1986.
New York niggas be in Virginia. That's lit.
So now, back in 1986, that's when Virginia Beach was popping. I mean, on some real shit, was like really popping.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And me and a few of my friends, I'm not going to say their names. If I want to say their names, then they would be sitting here with me. I don't need to say their names.
However,
we went to Virginia Beach back in 86. We went down in an Audi and a Jeep. That's when the Jeeps was popping. Audis was already off the hook. We went down to Virginia Beach, and there was a concert, Fresh Fest.
Mm.
We was down to Eric B. Rakim, EPMD, Dougie Fresh. It was the whole shebang. Everybody was there.
Dookie chains everywhere.
And Alpo it got us tickets.
Mm.
Me and a friend of mine, we got us tickets and shit to go in.
Mm.
And we went down. This was back when Alpo had the white VW Volkswagen Golf. Mm. And if anybody know, they know, because he ended up selling it to LL. Then LL ended up selling it to Chuck Bourne. You know what I'm talking about.
Mm. Mm.
So yeah, that was back in 1986. We went down there. AZ had a 560 long sedan that he had came down in. And we all ended up going to the Fresh Fest together. And they got us tickets. We was all backstage. I got confirmation on that. So if you got questions about that, we could talk about that in my next podcast.
Mm.
I will be back.
Ooh.
That's how you feel?
That's how I feel.
That's how you feel?
I know I'll be invited back after this one.
Of course. Listen. Just talking shit. Of course. You already know.
I know I'll be invited. Do you hear what I said? I know I will be invited back.
Mm.
That's a fact.
Confidence.
All my shit facts.
Motherfucker OG.
Me.
OG Demi, man. Yeah, I ain't talking
all
that
shit. All my shit facts.
So I like it though. It's raw.
So let's move forward a little bit.
Talk about the boy.
Dope.
Yeah.
Because see, what that does is that moves us too far forward.
Okay, I'm sorry.
I need to step back for a minute.
I'm sorry. Go ahead. What do you think?
You step back.
That moves us too far forward. Because I didn't start moving that till later date.
Okay. Yo, Henny, sit down. Need you to chill.
He's chilling.
Anyway, we come back from that summer at the beach. That was a really big deal back then, because we got a chance to meet a whole lot of ballers from a lot of different areas, and it kind of put a certain level of motivation into all of us back then. Because I got the chance to meet guys from Philadelphia, North Carolina, South Carolina, Georgia, Florida, all up and down the Eastern Seaboard.
Right.
Guys that I've had the opportunity to spend time with since then. So we come back from Virginia Beach. And
was the beepers popping back then?
Yeah, beepers. That's all it was beepers. Now, see what I'm saying?
I'm
glad you said
that. Yeah.
Back then,
yeah.
There was a guy that came in the White Plains. He had a beeper before. I didn't even know what a beeper was.
Mm.
He came in the White Plains, dude named Joseph. He's no longer with us.
Mm.
However.
Rest in peace?
Rest in peace to Joseph.
Okay.
But he came in the White Plains. He had a beeper on him. And I seen him kind of moving around with this beeper. And every time I hear this thing go off, he walked to a phone booth. That's all we had back then.
Mm. He walked to
a phone booth.
Yeah.
And he jumped on the phone. It's almost like he would have to call the service, and the service would tell him who called.
Mm.
Shortly thereafter, I got a brother that used to work for this large company down in New York City. And he used to work, matter of fact, he used to work for this company. I guess it was Bank of America, I think it was, whoever it was, but he used to drive around this big Buick Park Avenue.
Yeah. Yeah.
Him and my uncle, they worked together. Mm-hmm. But he used to always come to the block in this big real Park Avenue.
Word.
Mm-hmm. And he had this beeper on his side. But he walked around in a suit. Seriously, he walked around in a suit. Every time I see him, he was in a suit. And he would always acknowledge me on the street. Mm-hmm. Always.
Yeah.
He did not ever acknowledge me.
Mm. Right.
Because he knew what I was out there doing.
Yeah.
He knew I knew the consequences.
Yeah.
But he's the top brother. I'm the ninth child. So I was always at the bottom of the list. However, he would acknowledge and respected me when I came on the road.
Loved
when he seen me on the street.
Love.
He seen that hunger in you.
I guess I had a certain kind of hunger in me. I'm not gonna be flamboyant about it.
Mm.
Right.
But I know he has a certain level of respect for me. I think I believe now.
But you don't
back
feel
then,
that?
No. Back then, I probably didn't see it. I was too ignorant to see it.
Yeah.
Young mind.
Because you was in your own mind.
I was young.
You were saying you in your own mind.
You trying to make your own way.
But he knew I was about getting money.
Yeah.
Right.
He knew I loved the money. If I ain't loved nothing else, I loved the money.
Yeah. It's tough trying to tell a young nigga something.
Right.
You know what I mean?
So yeah, I would see him when he pull up. He'd acknowledge me, but he'd go on to talk to his friends. But he knew I was there. The Joe Zepps, the Mike C's, and Herb C's. He knew who I'm talking about when I say those names. But he knew who I was talking about. Big Paul. Big, yeah. He say that now. Big Paul. You know, he knew the names I was talking about when I come through. Big Skips. God bless. All those guys, I just said, God bless them all. They're no longer with us.
Yeah.
However, they're all dead, except Mike.
But OG. Yeah.
So yeah, so
OG.
So yeah, so this is, you know, this these are some of the kind of some of the stories that I'm able to tell.
Right.
Based on my own perspective. Again, so we'll go back. He respected me when he saw me.
Do you regret anything though from that all of
no,
that?
I could tell you why I don't regret anything. I don't, but I could tell you why I don't. Learning business on the road is probably one of the toughest things you'll ever have to do. Because you learn you're not sitting in a classroom setting.
Right.
You know, if you can go out on the road and you can sell a thousand bottles every day, that's what they were back then, of crack cocaine. If you could sell that every day on the street and be able to manage your money at the end of the day, that's what business was. And that's what it is now, being able to manage your money. But the part that I didn't get is being able to invest that in other businesses, right? So I got the basics down, getting your money and managing it. That's what I was able to get down. I took my first bus back in 1986. Now, we already talked about 90. We talked about 91 up to 94, but we're going to go all the way back to the beginning when I took my first bus. I took my first bus in December 1986. Funny thing is about that bus is that I had 200 joints in my pocket.
What the fuck is 200 joints?
200 crack vials. Mm.
Jesus Christ.
Wrapped in a rubber band, nigga.
200 crack vials. They were all in a plastic bag.
Plastic bag.
They were all in a plastic bag.
200 of them.
That's deadly.
And the only thing they took me for was a possession of a stolen watch. Now, I had bought a Rolex off a dude off the street. But just so happened that this dude that sold me the watch, he worked at IBM, and he stole it from a guy, an executive officer that worked at IBM. He sold me the watch. And it had all that information on the back of the watch. You couldn't change the back of a Rolex watch. For all of you Rolex watch owners, you know what it is that I'm saying. You just couldn't go into a store and change the back of a watch in 1986.
Sheesh.
So I got busted with a Rolex watch on my wrist. So they got me for possession of stolen property. They tried to give me 90 days.
Three months.
And they wanted me to know. Well, they tried to give me 2 years. They wanted me to cop the 90 days. Mm. I took it to trial.
That copping shit some bullshit.
I ended up beating the trial because I got busted with some guys. And I didn't trust the guys that I was around at the time. And I said, well, if all you got me on is a stolen watch when I could have did 10 years on 200 joints, I'm going to take my shot at trial with that goddamn watch. Mm. Just so happens that I beat that trial.
Mm.
5,000 later. Back then, 5,000 was a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
For those that don't know, back in 1986, it's probably more money now. Because everybody ain't got 5,000 no more.
At least it's not, you know, around
saying?
Here.
Yeah. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, real shit.
So, don't even, you see, know, to end up beating that in trial.
Good.
But then, but then in 87, in Harlem, they would call them, well, in Westchester County, we call them sealed indictments. In Harlem, they would call them secret indictments. So the secret indictments came down. You could tell I spent a lot of time in Harlem by my lingo. However, secret indictments came down, and they ended up taking me off the street. And they had me held up for like, I want to say 45 days, probably about 45 days. Because they never gave me a bail early. It was like four of us, and they never gave us bails early. Because they actually, based on the pictures, they saw me actually give the informant a hand-to-hand exchange.
Mm.
So they got that on camera. I seen the pictures later on.
As always, that paperwork always comes out.
Mm-hmm.
You snitches.
So I had hired an attorney from the Bronx. Back then, when you was from Westchester, you hired an attorney from the Bronx. It counted as strikes against you. However, I stuck with that attorney.
Mm.
Because they felt like, well, if he can afford an attorney from the Bronx, he must have got a lot of money. Mm. That's how they felt.
Mm.
In Westchester County, because everybody else was copping out.
Mm.
So I ended up getting 5 years probation without copping out.
Fuck it.
They said you can either get a year in jail or 5 years probation. So that wasn't a cop out. They just told me I can get that. So I took that 5 years probation. Because at that time, the dude that was snitching, he snitched on like 67 of us. I think it was 67. It's either between 60 and 70. He told on all of us.
Fuck you, snitches.
that nigga's on the roll.
That dude currently lives in Alabama. Mm.
Oh, damn.
He know I know who he is.
Bitch nigga.
Fucking faggot. So you know I know who you are.
Bitch nigga.
You probably gonna hear this shit.
All right, rap.
No, he's gonna hear it. He's gonna hear it.
Yeah.
He's gonna know somebody's gonna hear it. So you know when Demi said it, I said it.
You know what I'm saying?
Rap nigga, bastard.
Nigga trembling right now.
Cheesy rat.
Like a little bitch.
So he know the work I done put in. He know what kind of fear levels he's gonna have when he see me.
Mm.
Well, that snitching shit is at an all-time high.
Yes.
Right now.
So, anyway, so we go from...
He's on this Tekashi 1986
shit. To 1987, I come out of jail. Doing really well for myself. During this time, I'd already bought myself my first car. I bought my own car. This wasn't the car that my aunt gave me graduating from high school. I bought my own car. I bought a Beamer 320i, black on black. I bought it.
Black on black.
I kind of let it sit over at my brother's house.
Oh, you was balling.
Back then. Brother used to live in White Plains before he moved into Yonkers. I was letting the car sit over in his little parking lot.
Yonkers.
So we come home in 87. I come home in 87. I'm home 2 weeks. I take the car over, get everything put in the car, sheepskin seats, whole system.
Sheepskin seats.
I take my get my whole front grill done. I'm the only guy in probably in New York State with a 320-hour square headlights. That was back then. You know what I'm talking about.
Changed the whole grill up.
So I changed the whole grill. I had bubble windshades. I had bubble shades on the side of on my windows. BBS is on my car. Whole shit.
The gold BBS?
Go ahead, gold BBS on my black
what,
car.
Nigga? I told you, Dave. Yeah. Gold BBS, baby. That's how we doing it, baby. You know, that money-making mess shit.
You talking about Harlem shit.
I end up after a short time, going through all the other shit that I just mentioned, I end up bringing my show on the road. I got invitations to come down here and take care of some work. So we came down. I ended up coming down here by myself.
Down
my
where?
First trip in the Fayetteville, North Carolina. I ended up taking my first trip on the road in the Fayetteville, North Carolina.
Phil, what up? Eastside, what up?
Hmm?
And I end up staying with my sister and my brother-in-law at the time. End up getting in contact with some people. We were able to kind of put things in action, get some things working.
Yes.
At that time, my nephew, as a matter of fact, my nephew was born then.
Oh.
Had to go pick him up from the hospital.
Hey, big head nigga.
Yeah, slow head.
Had to go pick him up from the hospital. He was born then.
Crying.
So just crying. So we ended up going to pick him up from the hospital. We'll get to that in a minute, though.
It's this nigga. We get to that in a minute.
So I ended up coming down here, taking care of some business. I was able to be successful with that along with my team. My team was still in New York, but I was down here operating alone. So we was able to be successful here. We came into a situation where there was a family member that was getting money just like me that was here. And the funny thing, when I say this, you're going to be shocked. She was into the same business I was into, taking money. So she tried to send some niggas at me on GP. And I pulled up to a house one night to do some business. Well, I don't have to go into all the numbers.
No.
But based on everything I said, you know how I was moving.
What? I'm always prepared.
So we pull up. I pull up. I go in the house. We do business. But she didn't do all the business that she was supposed to.
You know something was fishy
so,
then?
So I ended up leaving. Just based on my surroundings, I knew she had the money to do the business she said she was going to do.
Yeah. Do you ever get that gut feeling that everybody be talking about?
That come with the work. So when you're used to taking money, you know when a motherfucker trying to come take money from you. Right. So
you
know,
skim.
I've been around a long time.
Swiping.
That's when you know the game. For sure.
I like this.
It kind of goes back to what I said earlier. You know, mentally, my capacity was a little bit more different than everybody else's, and it's not about me trying to throw myself out there, trying to make myself look better than everybody else. My shit, fact, all of it. You know, so I had the ability to be able to size a motherfucker up early. You know, kind of know what he was about and who was really going to take that shot at trying to come get it from me and who wasn't. So I knew that. So anyway, she sent some guys after me. We just happened to get it over here on, I think it was somewhere along Ramsey Street back then. We got along Ramsey Street. We had just pulled up out of this dark area, some residential area. And we had pulled up at the light on Ramsey Street. And it was just us at the light. There was nobody else with us at the light. When the light turned green, I probably drove about 400 yards full speed and I stopped. I shot at those dudes. They went their own separate ways. And then I had my sister call him the next day. She cursed her cousin out, told her cousin she'd beat the shit out of if she ever tried that shit again. I was already prepared for the work. However, my sister was able to take care of business for me in that situation because it was family. And she didn't want no problems with my sister. Not then, because my sister was a stone cold motherfucking thug. She put that work on your ass.
You shot him with the 40 cal?
They had no 40 cals back then.
Right.
All we had was motherfucking 38s and fucking 9 millimeters. We ain't had nothing.
Shit, 38s is...
So the 40, all I had was me, with me was a 38.
That's still a big bullet.
So, still nice.
Still a big bullet.
At 38 short. 38 was nice. At 38 short back then.
So,
Yeah, 38 short.
Okay.
Juice. So hold on. So let's talk about that for a second. See, we talk about amateurs and veterans. See, we talk about a veteran, he talk about, he'll say 38 short. When you talk about an amateur, you're going to say 38 snub nose.
Mm.
Oh.
I think it's, did I just shoot that nigga in the knees?
That's a generational thing. That's a generational
thing. I don't understand that. So we say 38 short. Right. Now remember, you got two sizes, 38 short, 38 long.
Right.
I know about the long.
38 short, 38 long. Right. Now 38 long. Now 38 long.
It's long.
No, 38 long take 37 bullets. Mm. 38 short take 32 bullets. Right. So it's different. So you just got to know differently talking about guns. So we'll get back to the other bullshit.
Right,
so
right.
I like this conversation.
Yo, fucking fuck with OG, goddammit.
Tell us your shit.
I tell you this shit was going to be original.
On the dirty water, tell us your shit.
Dirty shit.
Hey, get him some more ice.
I know that other one was classic. This shit right here, authentic, nigga. All my shit, fact.
You know what I'm saying? Give him some ice.
All my shit, fact. So, look, with every hustler... You know, there's gonna come a point where you may not be getting money like that. You may be a little fucked up, so you know you gotta go out there and try to get some more money to try to maintain that status, because that's what it was really all about, maintaining your status back then. It required you go out on the road.
Like that now,
it requires you go out on the road and get money, take money. I said that, didn't I say that? Mm-hmm. Take money, right? I said that, right?
Take money, man.
Take money.
Take that.
Take money.
To the See, point been, you're like, whoa.
You know, I was hustling for a long time, but I was taking money for a long time too. State to state.
And don't regret none of it.
No, I don't regret none of it. You know, I tell my story now, and little do people realize I actually went back to college in 2010 and graduated in 2014 with a bachelor's. Magna 3.6, bitch. Don't forget that. So that's my story.
Talk that shit.
But again, you know, talking to a guy that was out on the road, you know, chasing that money, you know.
Ain't nothing wrong with that. You gotta get money.
Never too old to get back to the education.
Yeah. Right. Street smart and book smart.
That's what it's been about.
And being a mastermind anyway is being the smartest one of the clique anyway.
Yeah. So. I've always had that uncanny ability to be ahead of the curve with my counterparts.
Right.
You know, as it relates to different ways of getting money. Seeing a motherfucker, knowing that nigga's under pressure. We gonna go get that, you know, what have you. So you walk into, let's just say, well, I can tell you that I've been in situations where I walk into a connect and I wasn't even looking to buy nothing. I was just looking to scope the area, bottom line. And I'll know by the time I walk out that door if we can go in there and get that money or whatever he got laying around. You notice how I always talk about laying around, right? Because the motherfucker get comfortable with what he got for a minute. So we just kind of say laying around. For all you Harlem niggas, you know what I'm talking about. You got some shit laying around. We going to go get that, right?
Mm. You ever rob somebody you knew?
No.
Mm.
Nah, I never felt like I needed to. They ain't have enough for me to go get.
So that means you don't have to worry about the revenge. No.
It didn't matter anyway.
You know what I mean? It
didn't matter anyway.
Right.
That's how I was moving.
Right.
So I'm just being honest about that.
Yeah.
You know, it didn't matter how I was moving. Didn't matter. I just that's just how I was moving.
Mm.
For the people that don't
if
know.
If I wanted it, I knew how to get it. But if I really wanted to take it from a nigga that I knew, I'd take it from him too.
But you have it.
I didn't have to.
That's real shit.
Because I knew how to go get it.
Right. From elsewhere.
And keep that respect. The level of respect between me and
in the circle
say,
and shit.
Counterpart.
Yeah.
Circles was big, but they were small back then. You know, it wasn't really...
Just lie that down.
You know, that whole thing about circles was few and far in between, you know. We made did players' balls together and all that shit because I did a whole lot of players' balls, but, you know, that's just for niggas that's really getting money, you know. But if I really wanted to go at a nigga, I'd go at a nigga. It didn't matter who it was. As a matter of fact, we're going to talk about this one right here. There was a dude from Mount Vernon. And we all knew he was getting money. I mean, everybody knew he was getting money. And this one night, I was in Harlem going to get some money. Take money.
I was in Harlem.
Take money.
Mm-hmm. I was in Harlem.
Take money.
And we had just finished. We had just finished taking money.
We finished taking money.
We had just finished taking some money.
And want some more money.
And we was coming up the road, and I was simply going to greet the guy. We knew each other on a personal level. And I was simply going to greet the guy, and although he didn't know what kind of car I was driving at that point, I tried to catch up to him, just say what's up. So once I get, once I kind of get almost beside the guy, we were kind of like, my front end was at his window. Mm-hmm. He was driving a white 300 CE Mercedes. Mm-hmm. But he had some special work done to it. Because the way he pulled out in front of me, that let me know that motherfucker had some work done to that car. So he, I'm trying to pull up on him, say, what's up? You know, said that and the other. And he get away from me. Now, right now, at this point, we're coming through Yankee Stadium or 87. We're coming through Yankee Stadium. That's 161st Street. We're coming through. This motherfucker run me all the way up to Woodlawn, 241st Street.
Hey.
He run me all the way up to 241st Street and get off the exit. I keep going. But I go to Mount Vernon the next day. I say, hey, look, man, I'm not going to say his name.
God what bless. Was you driving?
I was driving an old Chevy Citation X11.
Don't even make that shit.
Are you chasing that shit?
Now, that X11 was fast as a motherfucker, but I couldn't keep up with him. So anyway, I go to Mount Vernon the next day. I say, yo, what's up, such and such? Because I'm not going to say his name. God bless the dead. Man, you know, I was trying to catch up with your motherfucking ass last night. You know that was me? He said, that was you? I said, yeah, nigga, that was me. Man, come on in here, sit down and eat with me. So we sat down and ate for a little bit, chopped it up. Dice game. And we kind of went from there. But there's always been that level of respect between him and I since then, up until his passing. It didn't matter where I was in the world. There was always that respect. I can pick up the phone and call him anytime. Hey, look, need some help.
Yeah.
It is what it is.
Was he from Mount Vernon?
He's from Mount Vernon.
Oh, I know. Okay.
He was from Mount Vernon. He ain't from Mount Vernon. He don't live there no more.
Damn.
Yeah.
They be knowing everybody.
Yeah. Shout out to Tootie. But yeah, that's what that was back then. So now we move into 88, 89, kind of moving around a little bit. As always, you know, when you fucking around and spending more money than you taking in, you send the fuck up a whole lot of money. So that kind of leads into you getting a whole lot more, you know?
That's a fact.
Get money.
That's when I kind of like spiraled out of control as far as going to get money, going to take money. CERN. We had.
Yo, when you say get money, you going to take money.
You going to take money.
All right, so just.
So this one time where that shit kind of spiraled out of control, I guess this was a situation where they were kind of on to me. You know, they had already told anywhere from 140th to 155th Street, they knew I was coming through. They knew I was coming through. It didn't matter. So this was one time where we went to a place on 144th Street where they were selling dust at. I knew he was getting a lot of money over there. I knew they was getting a lot of money over there.
And that dust money is different.
They was getting a whole lot of
different
money.
Different
kind. I don't know about the dust money.
And the only reason I know about the dust money because okay. I was smoking dust, so I knew about the money they was getting over there.
Whoa.
And that's just keeping me. That's just me keeping the buck across the board.
That's a whole different.
So listen,
when you staking up niggas, it helps.
I am.
Man.
Before we get to that point, I just kind of keep a half ounce of dust in my freezer.
Okay, okay.
I'm not lying dust. About that story. That's some real shit right there. And I had my friend Horse. Had my friend Horse. God bless the dead. He used to come to my house, and just kind of grab dust out the freezer because he knew I always had it laying around. It's my guy right there forever. Shout out to Horse. Our birthday was the same day we was best friends.
From White Plains.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know Horse.
Bobby.
Dave know everybody. I swear, Dave know everybody.
He knew Horse. So, anyway, we go to the spot 144th. This time I'm kind of moving with some different guys.
Word.
Because the guys I was fucking with kind of fell out the loop. They just wasn't with it no more. They knew I was getting a little too aggressive, but I came across a guy that really wanted to get some money too. So he knew what it was like to kind of get fucked up in the business and kind of want to get that level of money back. So we kind of sat on this guy for a few days. It didn't even take long to sit on this guy in particular.
It didn't even take long to sit on this guy.
He was making his business known.
Oh, I see. Somebody flashy.
Yeah,
shit?
So it took about a week, a little less than a week for us to get on this guy. The beautiful thing about this one in particular is that he was working for himself. He was only going to cop and come back to his hole where he was hustling from. Mm. And when I say I moved around with him, I followed him everywhere he went to go cop, to come back, to when the shop opened up. The whole story, I followed all of it. Well, this one particular time, we went down, and I caught him just as he was coming out of his apartment.
And yeah, look.
And, we got him for $40,000, and there was probably like 2.5 pounds of dust. That was a lot of money. Mm-hmm. 2.5 pounds of dust, a lot of money.
A lot of money.
Because you know,
let him know.
You know, 2.5 pounds of dust. That's probably about 40. That's probably about another 40,000.
Jesus.
So he was able to get that.
Close to 100 racks.
That was a lucky build. That was a lucky. Mm. That was a lucky hit right there.
He knew what it was.
Oh no, he already knew what it was. There was no.
Nah, you gotta give it up.
He already knew what it was. That face expression. That's what I'm saying.
My man already fired the shot. I told him don't even fire the shot. He said he already shot. It was a done deal.
Yeah.
As soon as old boy opened the door, my man fired the shot.
That's some shit.
It was a done deal. It was a done deal.
My nigga, don't shoot.
It was a done deal. It was a done deal. Done deal. It was a done deal. Yeah, that was on 144th Street. So you was able to kind of come up on that. That was, you know what, that was probably, even though it wasn't the most, it was probably the most exciting because I had brought him some new help.
Okay, and they showed boy, out.
And he showed up
He showed
early.
Out.
Like, he showed yeah. up early. Right?
So he was like, yeah.
He showed up early. He didn't even hit the dude, but he just put so much fear in the guy.
Yeah, he got to give it
he
up.
He gave it all up, you know?
Give it all up.
So the game playing.
You hear that sound?
So he took money out the ceiling. This motherfucker took money out the wall. Now, if you know, back then they only had plaster in the wall. This nigga had a special spot built in the wall. He gave all the motherfucking money out the wall. He went to the freezer and gave up all the dust. Mm. I mean, it was beautiful, man.
It was beautiful.
He was like, yeah, nigga.
So now, again... As I said from the beginning, all my stories is fact. Like, ain't none of my shit made up. We're not gonna do that.
Hold on.
We're not gonna do it.
Did he say? Keep the dust.
Keep the money.
No. Everything. So.
Like shots
just so
shit.
You know. Just so you know, I kept the dust, but we was able to split the money down.
Right. Here you go.
Not gonna lie,
you know what I'm saying?
Oh my god. Yo.
Because everybody can't move that. Everybody can't move it. You know, the whole thing about dust, you got to have a certain like type of client base to move that, you know?
Yeah, because everybody ain't talking about
it. I could say clientele, but clientele kind of goes back late. Right. You know, I like to say client base, you know, because I am more business oriented.
Everybody ain't talking about that. That's why.
You know, but I am more business oriented at this point in my life. I've been able to do a lot of things to kind of change my life around, which enables me to be client, you know, to say those words like client base or. You know, whatever it is, it's, you know, it relates to business even remotely. So yeah.
So the boy though.
So let's talk about the boy. So we already talked about the other shit. I knew about boy for a long time.
Boy Judge.
But I've never had the end. I guess I could say the end to get into that business. But it just so happens that I kind of stumbled into that business.
Stumbled?
I did. I stumbled into it. I stumbled into that business when I stumbled into that business in 97 when I first came home from jail. Mm. I stumbled into the business. Mm. You know, when you're in jail, you're able to pick up a lot of different connections. And a dude will know if you're about getting money, if you're about using when he see you. Mm-hmm. It just comes with the territory. Gotta remember, gangsters respect gangsters in jail. It's not like you would normally think, oh, because he a gangster. He just going to go after everything. No, gangsters respect gangsters in that space because it's all men in that jail. Mm-hmm. Right. Ain't no ladies out. Ain't no ladies in there. It's all men.
Right.
So when you're in that space, again, I was in Clinton Max, not Clinton Annex, C-337, look my number, 95A1445.
And jail is for suckers.
That's my number. Jail is for suckers. I said that. I meant that.
I know. I'm saying,
yo. Yeah.
I got that from Lance Sessoms. He has 75 to life. Trust me when I say it. My shit stamped. All of it. It's all stamped. So, yeah. So, end up getting in contact with a dude. I'm not going to say his name. Shout out to Columbia Tito. But yeah, got connected with a dude, kind of plugged me in and shit. So when I touched down in 87, he was already waiting for me. I moved into a city called New Haven, Connecticut.
CT, what up?
New Haven, what up?
Mm-hmm.
203. So I moved into a city called New Haven. And, you know, things kind of start moving forward from there. Yeah, I did work. But that town required you to work because it was too small. You couldn't really move around the way you wanted to move around there. You couldn't. And I learned that from knowing some of the other cats that kind of took hits and got busted in town just from doing one of the basic things, and that's just not working. So I was able to grab a job with a company, and I was still able to kind of do my work while doing that. And I was able to open up a hole and kind of get going from there. During that time, I had that whole run from 97 to 2005. That's when I actually walked out of Connecticut and said, you know what, I had enough. And I kind of took my show back on the road again. And so I ended up coming into Fayetteville, North Carolina, and getting that dope money. Now, if anybody know about getting that dope money in Fayetteville, North Carolina, you know it costs $30 a bag, nigga. So we're not talking about getting this motherfucking money. So I wasn't letting that go. Okay. I still moved a little bit of coke, but
you heard
dope was it. That's where the money was.
North Carolina.
Yeah, that's where the money was.
You heard.
Facts.
Yeah.
Facts.
Facts.
Dirty water.
And all my shit stamped. I say it again, all my shit stamped. It's official.
What's the most money you ever seen?
Shit. Probably about $400,000. I ain't see a million. I'm not going to sit up here and bluff about that. But in one room, I see about $450,000. I'm not going to lie about that. I'm not the guy that's going to sit up here and say, I seen a whole lot of shit that I didn't see. But if you saw $450,000, you know it's a lot of fucking money. So when you break it down into to denominations, ones, fives, tens, twenties, hundreds, it's a lot of money.
You regret nothing?
No, I don't. As I said before, you know, I was able to go to school and graduate from college, Magna.
How's life today?
Great. And the funny thing is, I can't even say who I work for. It's going to be funny. Nah. I can't say it. But anyway, yeah, my life is great today, man.
Yeah.
God is good, man.
All the time, man. God good, you know, but. No, all my shit official, man. You know,
the beautiful thing about it is you just basically letting young brothers know that no matter what you go through, you can still always turn your life around and still maintain and have a good life.
A lifestyle.
Exactly.
Well, let me just say this. I'm going to say it for the last time. Jealous for suckers, man. Trust me when I tell you. You're taking it from a guy that's been through the ropes. Now, my story can match up against... I don't give a fuck whose story it is, a New York story, a Harlem story. I don't care. My story can match up against all of them. Because all of our stories are the same. The only difference is they may have been a little bit more involved. When I say involved, I mean as far as the material they was moving around or the money they was moving around. But as far as the episodes, my stories line up with the best of them. As a matter of fact, shout out to Nate from 139th Street. He got killed back in 1989, he got killed in 89. He came home from jail. He was getting a whole lot of money on 39th Street. They killed him. They didn't like the dust money he was getting. He was getting a whole lot of dust money. and everybody from Harlem, you know who I'm talking about. Yeah, they killed him.
What you think about the youngins today? The way they moving, the way they
these niggas is fucked up.
Got the game all fucked up.
They got all fucked up because everybody telling on each other.
Right.
The bad part about it is everybody smiling each other's face like it's real.
Right.
That shit ain't real, man.
Right.
Snitching ain't real.
Right.
You know what the You know what the fuck you getting into when you get into it. So stop playing with yourself, man. Right. If you ain't about this life, then leave it alone. Yeah. I'm telling you.
Me too.
Leave it alone.
Right. And that shit is fucked up.
I can attest to that. I seen a whole lot of shit, did a whole lot of shit. But I ain't never gave up nobody. Don't give it up like that, man.
Right,
I'm too far removed. So we'll just say statute of limitations. That's all I'm going to say. But yeah, I'm removed from the business. Too far removed from the business.
Check out for man. Y'all good, man?
Yeah, we straight. Let's wrap this shit up.
You good? How you feeling, man? I appreciate you. I appreciate you coming to Dirty Water Podcast.
I appreciate it.
Kicking it with us, talking shit with us.
It's all real. You know?
Bit some shit.
You know what I'm saying? And
it's all real, man. It's all real.
You kick some OG shit, some real knowledge, some shit youngins can learn from.
Yes.
Jails for suckers.
Jails definitely for suckers.
I'm saying that when I say that, I really mean that though. You know, like jails for suckers, man. If you go to jail, that means you got busted for doing something that you love to do.
Right.
If you love to do it, then why the fuck are you getting busted? If you call yourself the best at it, then why are you getting busted at it? You understand what I'm saying? So no.
It's either that or you doing some shit that you know nothing about.
You done fucked up.
And you an idiot for that, too.
You done fucked up. Yeah, man. I done seen the best motherfuckers get away. Right. You know, Guy Fisher. Frank Matthews.
That's the thing.
Frank Matthews. Best to ever do it. Best to ever do it. Hustle out of Brooklyn. So motherfucking dope all over the Eastern Seaboard and some points Midwest.
Damn.
Sold it everywhere. You can't name a state where he wasn't hustling at.
Sounds elevate yourself.
What year was this?
That was in the late 60s, early 70s. And he was getting money for a long motherfucking time. They say back then he was worth, when he got busted, he was worth $33 million.
Damn.
That's crazy. Frank Matthews, not Frank Lucas, I'll say it again. Fuck Frank Lucas.
Why you say fuck Frank Lucas?
Because he was a snitch too.
And there you go.
See, the movie made it seem like he only snitched on the cops. He snitched on everybody.
Ugh.
Him and Nicky Bomb.
Facts.
Ugh. Facts.
We know about Nicky.
Right.
So that's why I say that. Yeah, I'll say that.
You said fuck him.
I'm around. You know how to get me. I'm around. So guess what that means? I don't give a fuck how you feel about it. I'm around. I'm always around.
I like it.
Dirty Water Podcast.
I'm everywhere. You ain't there.
You know what I mean?
Shit.
I'm a dozer.
As a matter of fact, I'm everywhere. You was never there. So guess what? I don't give a fuck about none of that. However, my story real. My shit authentic. My shit factual. I could back my shit up with anybody. And that's the truth.
Yeah, Moses.
Thank you.
Thank you for coming to Dirty Water Podcast.
I'm glad as fuck to be here because I've been trying to get to this motherfucker for 7 months and shit.
We appreciate it, man.
We appreciate you coming here talking your shit with us.
And his fam.
Right.
Yeah.
It was popping.
No, we ain't going to go into all that.
Oh, no.
Y'all giving too much information.
Yeah,
goddamn.
It's too late,
man. I'm only fucking around. But again, yeah, it's all it's family rap, over here, man. Family. But yeah, again, it's all real, man. You know, it's all fact, like I said. My shit stamped, and I could back it up with anybody.
Oh.
You pick a nigga. Pick. He'll tell you my story.
Hey, yo, follow us on Twitter, Dirty_Water_NC, Instagram, Dirty_Water_Podcast, Facebook, Dirty Water Podcast. What's your shit, Dave?
All video streaming services. Get at us, nigga.
Dirty Water Dave B, Instagram. Holla at me.
We on Spotify. We on iTunes. We on Google Podcasts.
All streaming platforms. Get at us, nigga.
SoundCloud.
All that shit. Fuck with us. We had an OG session. We had a great time. Thank you again. Yeah.
Yeah. Moose.